But we start, of course, with that final installment of the Zondo Commission's report that I'm sure you've heard so much about over the last 16 to 18 hours or so. It covers quite a lot, and we've been unpacking it. We'll unpack it a bit further with you. In case you missed it, here are the highlights. On state security and Arthur Fraser, the politicization and abuse of the SSA has been laid bare in that report. Arthur Fraser heavily implicated in alleged criminal activity. Zondo's recommended a fresh investigation. On the ANC, the commission has painted a bleak picture of the role the ANC and its leaders played in aiding state capture-related fraud and corruption. The ANC NEC is actually meeting tonight. They're having a special meeting tonight, so we'll hear about that one. Zondo casting serious doubt on Ramaphosa's explanations why he didn't come out stronger more publicly in resisting state capture. Remember, he was deputy president. Could he have acted more? And then on direct election, which is a really big finding, Zondo proposing that our constitution should be amended to allow the direct election of the president. That's a big one. And then on PRASA, he's also recommended a new special commission dedicated to PRASA should be established. We'll speak to Martha Ngoy in a couple of minutes. But we'll start with Teto Makhlekwana, EWN reporter, who's been reading, 1,800 pages or so? Teto, how many are we dealing with?
Close to 2,000 pages. Mandy, I must apologize for this line. I've been long set, so the connection is not as great as it could be. Afternoon to you and the listeners. It's just been, I guess, just one of the longest nights that we've been having, just trying to go through as much as we can in that report to break down what it really means, you know, when the commission says, although the work they've done will contribute to ridding South Africa of corruption and creating some sort of a buffer against future, you know, attempts at capturing the state, it's not a silver bullet. And we see that in how, for example, on passenger, which is the passenger rail agency of South Africa, which has been brought to its knees really by the years of state capture, they still recommend, for example, that a commission of inquiry is required to get to the bottom of the kind of rot that went on there. You'd remember also in the second report, Mandy, that the commission described Transnet as the epicenter of the state capture looting period. And in this report that came out last night, they go further to say, in fact, Eskom and Transnet accounted for 97% of all the losses that were incurred through state capture, which is scary, really, when you think about the kind of situation that we find ourselves in. Transnet, which is supposed to be the backbone of the country's economy, has had so many troubles, of course, which can be linked as far back as when Ahmed Singh, Brian Molefe and co. were in charge of that and bringing it to its knees. And today, of course, I find myself in darkness, and we all know this story because of a great contribution of exactly what happened at Eskom, which followed a similar modus operandi.
Well, Teto, you're not alone. We in the studio are in darkness too. We also just got load shed, so you're not alone. I'm sure many people are with us as well. I think the big takeaway for me also has been the implication of the ANC. We know that the report also looks at just how involved the ANC was in aiding state capture-related fraud and corruption. And on the president, I think a lot of people didn't realize how much the president would be implicated because he was deputy president and he had the responsibility to step in and rein in state capture.
I've always been so dumbfounded by the president's insistence that he found out about a lot of these allegations and a lot of these revelations through the media and when civil society was raising the alarm, which of course did not make sense because as deputy president, he was leader of government business. That simply means that everything that happened in SOE, that happened in key government institutions, he was literally the overseer and the person responsible for ensuring that everything is run in order. And that's why the commission finds that, in fact, he was opaque in instances where they expected him to have known what is going on. They ask critical questions. Of course, even when they bring up the issue around the nuclear build deal, which, of course, fell apart and could have caused the economy so much money had it gone ahead. And he said to the commission that, in fact, he was not aware of this thing going ahead, but instead had recommended that they must see if the money is there in Treasury. And given the kind of money that has been spoken about, the billions of rands that it took, of course, there was no money for such a project. So it's just, you know, those glaring, I guess, you know, omissions and attempts to also just insist on protecting the ANC at the expense of South Africa, which, of course, is not the first president to do so. And it's really disappointing. And I do hope that as we go forward interrogating the report, we will get to a point where we realize that, in fact, our poison chalice is not Jacob Zuma alone, but the entire patronage system that is led by the ANC.
Teto, thank you very much. Teto Makhlekwana, EWN reporter, unpacking the Zondo Commission report, the final installment. As I said, the ANC is having a special NEC meeting tonight. I think they have a lot of introspection to do.